We talked about this bill, Senate Bill 15. The official title is A Bill for an Act Concerning Creating an Optional Category of Tuition at State Institutions of Higher Education. The title of that bill isn't all that informative. The name of the bill, if it were accurately worded, would be A Bill to Create an Illegal Alien Tuition Subsidy, or A Bill Pandering for Hispanic Votes. That's the intent of the bill, the latter, and the first is what it actually does. It creates a highly discounted tuition rate at state colleges and universities for students who are here illegally. Now, this isn't the first iteration of this bill. It's surfaced before and hasn't passed. It's also almost identical to bills that are being presented in other states with exactly the same purposes. And as I was going through the bill yesterday and dissecting the wording, and the wording is so clever. You've got to give credit to our law schools for teaching students how to be devious and deceitful in the language that they use. You have to be very suspicious, and appropriately so, to actually get at the real meaning of this. Nowhere in here does it talk about illegal aliens, which is what this bill is all about. At the very end, it says, verification of lawful presence in the United States is not required for persons applying for the tuition classification. Tuition classification, of course, means steep tuition discount. And there was one paragraph in here that, as I read yesterday, I knew they were trying to get at something, but I didn't know what they were trying to get at, but all of my suspicious instincts were lighting up. And it's that part of the bill that reads as follows, and this from the summary of the bill. Eligibility for the tuition classification discount is not based upon residency. A student classified as a standard rate student for tuition purposes, that's a discount rate, that's their euphemism for highly discounted rate. They call that the standard rate. A student classified as a standard rate student for tuition purposes shall not be counted as a resident, and the tuition classification shall not be deemed to establish residency or domicile for any person. I was wondering why this wording was in there. Then I got an email from a listener who brought to my attention a federal law. This is Title 8, Chapter 14, Section 1623. Having to do with the limitation on eligibility for preferential treatment of aliens not lawfully present on basis of residence for higher education benefits. There's that word residence, and there's the flag. Now, just to read one more sentence from this federal law, it says, an alien who is not lawfully present in the United States shall not be eligible on the basis of residence within a state for any post-secondary, means college, education benefit unless a citizen or national of the United States is eligible for such a benefit without regard to whether the citizen or national is such a resident. To put that in simpler terms, if a state provides a discount for those here unlawfully who are in that state, they can no longer charge a higher rate of tuition for lawful residents of any other state. And as you understand, one of the ways that college students who are Coloradans have their higher education subsidized is by charging a much higher tuition rate for students who come here from other states. For example, a Coloradan lawfully here going to CU Boulder might pay $8,000 a year in tuition. Someone coming from Kansas to CU Boulder might pay $30,000 in tuition. So this too clever by half wording in Senate Bill 15 is intended to circumvent that federal law. I called State Attorney General John Suthers yesterday, who was in Washington on his way back to Denver. We talked over cell phone. Since he's rendered some opinions in this area when earlier versions of a bill like this has been presented, and asked him if he could come on the air and clarify things today, and we've got him with us right now. Attorney General Suthers, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you, Mike.
All right. That was my summary. I hope it was understandable.
And a pretty good one.
I know I don't need to inform you about this. You're better informed about it than I am. But following our conversation yesterday, you said you'd look into this when you got back in Colorado. You are back now. I've got to take a break right here, but as soon as we come back, can you explain what they're trying to do and whether they'll be successful in circumventing that federal law?
I'll sure try.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Work with salaried loan officers, get pre-approved in an hour, close in as fast as 8 days. 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net. All right, let's get right back to Attorney General John Southers. So, John, you've had a chance to look at the Senate Bill 15, which is designed to provide a tuition subsidy for illegal aliens. What's the risk that we could be sued by somebody from Kansas who doesn't want to pay $30,000 at CU, would rather pay $8,000 if this bill were to pass, and would argue that federal law requires, if this bill were to pass, that that discount apply to people from Kansas as well?
Well, let me give you a little bit of history here, Mike. In January of 2006, the Colorado Commission on Higher Education asked my office for a formal opinion as to whether they could, by policy or regulation, grant in-state tuition status to undocumented aliens. And at that time, we said, no, you can't, because of two federal laws that would stand in the way. Number one was a broad one, Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996, that said undocumented aliens are ineligible to receive any state or local public benefit unless the state legislature affirmatively provides for their eligibility. Secondly, and most importantly, there was the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1976 that said aliens that were not lawfully present in the United States are not eligible for in-state tuition unless that state also makes that tuition rate available to residents of other states, which you mentioned. So you couldn't give foreign nationals preference over residents of other states. And so we said you can't grant in-state tuition status to undocumented aliens unless there's affirmative legislative action, and you have to do so on a residency-neutral basis. As you know, Mike, since 2001, there's been a legislative act overturned this 1996 legislation, and they call it the DREAM Act, and it's been kicking around Congress. In the meantime, several states, and now Colorado, have said, okay, we got to come up with a residency-neutral way of getting this done. And so what 12 states have done, and what Colorado is apparently attempting to do here, is say, we're going to permit students to become eligible for in-state tuition on criteria other than their residency. In other words, if they graduate from a state high school, if they've been here for at least, attended that high school for at least 2 or 3 years, they've applied for state college or university admission, and they're eligible for admission, then they can be granted a specific tuition status. Presumably, they're perfectly willing to say that if a resident of Kansas attends a prep school in Colorado, for example, for 3 years, graduates, wants to go to University of Colorado, they can get this status only. It can also, as I say, 12 states have enacted similar legislation: Texas, California, Utah, New York, Washington, Illinois, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Connecticut. Two cases have been filed. In California, students paying out-of-state tuition in attending California universities filed a lawsuit saying this is just an end-around and I'm still being discriminated against. The district court in California said no. The California Court of Appeals reinstated the lawsuit, but in November of 2010, the California Supreme Court upheld this method for providing in-state tuition and said it did not conflict with federal law. And on June 6, 2011, the United States Supreme Court denied cert in that case. A similar case was brought by a Missouri resident who was attending college in Kansas, saying that they were being denied the status, and it was unlawful discrimination under federal law. And that case was dismissed for lack of standing, and the U.S. Supreme Court declined cert way back in June of 2008.
So just to clarify, the only reason those cases were brought by students legally here in one state in order to get a discount in another state's college, the only reason those cases were brought was because of laws providing this discount for people here illegally.
I mean, they basically, what they said is, despite the way they were framed, they were still discriminating in favor of illegal aliens against residents of other states. And, you know, the California Supreme Court, which is the highest court that's actually considered it, said, no, this is resident neutral if it's based on 3 years of attendance at a high school.
And the California Supreme Court is a very liberal Supreme Court.
Absolutely, as ours has historically been.
So if you don't mess with giving tuition discounts for illegal aliens, you don't even run the risk of these kinds of suits from people who are illegally in other states.
Absolutely. I mean, if you say if you're from a foreign country, you got to pay out-of-state tuition, you don't run the risk of those suits. But this is a workaround, these federal statutes, and it looks so far that 12 states have pulled it off.
The wording, and you've had a chance to look at this Senate Bill 15, is your reaction the same as mine, that this is intricately clever and shrewd, the wording in this bill, to disguise what the bill's real intentions are?
Yeah, Mike, you kind of stated it. This is this is lawyering at its finest or worst, depending upon your perspective. It's obviously a clear runaround. There's a specific provision in the bill that said eligibility for classification as a standard rate student for tuition purposes pursuant to this section is not based upon residency. Mm-hmm. It's resident neutral. And then it says very specifically the requirements are that you attended a public or private high school in Colorado for 3 years or more immediately preceding the date the student graduated from Colorado High School, and you've been admitted to an institution in Colorado within 12 months after graduating from high school or earning a certificate, you get this tuition rate.
Yeah. And if there were some kind of a test to determine whether you were here legally in high schools, you couldn't attend that high school to begin with. But if you've gotten away with attending that high school as someone in the country illegally, then we're going to reward you by giving you a discount if you go to college.
Well, that's a whole other legal situation. For some incredible reason, in 1982, the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Plyler versus Doe, I think mm-hmm. it was a San Antonio case, said any child, regardless of immigration status, is eligible for a free primary or secondary education. I've never been able to find that in the United States Constitution, but they said it's in the 14th Amendment.
Yes, which was all about slavery, by the way, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Here's another clever turn of a phrase. Unless the governing board of an institution of higher education, think of CU. So let me replace it just to make it flow more easily. Unless CU adopts a policy stating it will not offer this discounted tuition rate to illegals, the bill requires CU to classify a student, yada, yada, that is to give that discount. So if the school does nothing, the default is the discount's in place.
That's right. They have to affirmatively opt out.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't like the device being used here. I don't like the end run. I don't like the scheming in this bill, and I'm opposed to it in principle in any event. But I just want to clarify.
And I hope the legislature at least, you know, understands what it's all about, and when they're voting up or down on it, I hope they're savvy enough to understand that it is a complete runaround, these two federal statutes.
And depending on how our Supreme Court would rule, there's a risk that if this were to pass and enacted and be enacted that the state of Colorado's colleges and universities, state schools, would no longer be able to charge that higher rate to people from other states. There's at least a risk of that.
There's a risk, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Attorney General John Southers, 713-8585, our telephone number. When we come back, let's get into this this other issue that I had thrown out earlier about whether or not someone who owns a restaurant or a bar should be required to serve people in biker garb if the restaurateur believes that these people might be disruptive. You're on 850 KOA.